Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We are continuing our study in the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In just a few minutes we will pick up in verse number 10. 1 John chapter 3 verse number 10. It's certainly good to see everyone here tonight. We appreciate Brother Don leading us in our song service, and we appreciate Brother Rance leading us in our opening prayer. Brother Rance is a student there at San Marcos. He attends there at the university congregation. Very involved in the student center, and he was preaching in Camp Wood this morning. And so it's certainly encouraging to see young men as himself being zealous in serving the Lord, wanting to learn more about God's Word and then putting it into practice, wanting to share it, wanting to step up and teach it. I know that there are a lot of congregations just in our area that need help in that area of just having somebody come and preach the gospel. You have areas like Camp Wood and Lakey. I don't know if you've ever been up in that area. It's a very beautiful, beautiful area. But the congregations there are very small. I can remember when I was Rance's age that some of those congregations were very strong in number, and just in that short time they have just kind of dwindled down. They've had quite a few members that have passed away, and I'm very familiar with the brethren in that area and good brethren, and so please keep them in your prayers, and we certainly appreciate Rance wanting to help them and encourage them in that way. Well, tonight we are continuing our study in the book of 1 John chapter 3, and we're picking up in verse number 10. And I want to begin reading verse number 10, and then we'll make an observation. And after we make this observation, I believe you will see how this lesson will develop as we continue to study verse number 10 all the way down through verse number 18 tonight. In verse number 10, the Apostle John says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." What you see in verse number 10 is a contrast. The Apostle John is contrasting the children of the devil with the children of God. And as you consider verse number 10, it should be obvious who we follow. It should be obvious by the way that we live our lives that we are children of the King, that we are children of God. And it'll be seen in the way that we live our lives. It's obvious as you stop and think about the other side, who the children of the devil are. And John is going to show us that picture. If you're the children of God, you're going to live like this. If you're the children of the devil, you're going to live like that. And so as we stop and think about Christianity in our own Christian life, there should be proof. There should be evidence that we are the children of God. Now, as we study this section of Scripture, like we study all of God's Scripture, we should be examining ourselves. And if we come to the conclusion, you know what, I'm not living the way that I should, we need to make those changes. And this is something that we should think about as we study God's Word, hopefully on a daily basis. Think about what David said in Psalm 119, verse 59 and 60, where David says, "I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." This is something that David practiced, looking at God's Word, examining his life, turning his life to God's Word, allowing God's Word to order his steps, to make those necessary changes. Let's be honest. Sometimes when we study God's Word will confront us. It will correct us. At times it will rebuke us. It will also encourage us. But we need to welcome God's Word into our lives and allow God's Word to work. And when we allow God's Word to work in our lives, we will see that we are the true children of God by the way that we live our lives. Well, as you look at verse number 10, we see that the children of God will practice righteousness. In fact, we might say from verse number 10, the Apostle John will lay out two identifying marks of the children of God. The children of God, number one, will practice righteousness. And number two, the children of God will love the brethren. And John is going to elaborate. He is going to build upon these two points. But as we know from our study, this isn't something that is new. This isn't the first time that John is mentioned this. He's already mentioned these two points. What John is doing is he's mentioning those two points again, and he's giving us a little bit more information. We might say that he's elaborating on what he's already established so that we would have a better understanding of God's expectations. Remember, God has expectations, and God has high expectations. And I believe as you consider these two expectations of living righteously, loving the brethren, each one of those things presents its own challenges in our life. And so we need to arise to those challenges, and we need to strive to be the people that God wants us to be. Again, the children of God, as we noticed in verse number 10, the children of God will practice righteousness. Earlier in 3 John chapter 3, notice with me verse number 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Who was deceiving these Christians? The Antichrist, the Gnostics. Little children, let no man deceive you. Now listen to it. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Who's the he that is righteous? I believe the Apostle John is talking about Jesus Christ, the righteous one. But righteousness is something that we do. It's something that we practice. And thus, when we do righteousness, we show ourselves to be the children of God. And as I said, that proof, that evidence needs to be there. Why is the Apostle John writing? In 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 14, we learn that the Apostle John is writing so that we may know that we have eternal life. John, or God, wants us to know that we are saved, that we belong to God, that we are His children. And so John lays down these tests that will help us determine whether or not we are the children of God. As you go through chapter 1, the children of God will walk in the light. The children of God will confess their sins. The children of God will follow the example of Jesus Christ. Go back, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. And we're developing a point here. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. I'm convinced in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle John is encouraging us to practice righteousness. And so when we go back to verse number 10, the children of God will practice righteousness. And if you stop and think about those verses that we just mentioned from chapter 3, verse 10, verse 7, along with 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, we can make this point that will help us understand what it means to practice righteousness. You see, righteousness boils down to this point. Righteousness is the result of the righteous one, Jesus Christ, living in us. Again, righteousness is the result of the righteous one, Jesus Christ living in us. Now, as we've already established in the previous lesson, we become righteous when we obey God's plan of salvation, that plan of righteousness. And once we obey the gospel and become righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are then to live righteously. And we continue to live righteously as we follow the example of Jesus Christ, as we yoke ourselves with the teaching of Jesus Christ. As Jesus would say in John 8, verse number 31, "He who continues in my word is my disciple." You can't live righteously unless you follow the example of the righteous one. And so if we're going to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, according to Titus 2, verse number 12, we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ. We need to yoke ourselves with His teaching. And when we do that, we will live righteously and we will show ourselves to be the children of God. But the Apostle John will continue on in verse number 11, "For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And where slew he him? Because, listen to it, his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." And now notice with me verse number 13. "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." I want to stop right there in verse number 13 because this still fits under the point of living righteously. And what we have to understand is this. When we follow the example of Jesus Christ, when we strive to live righteously, as Jesus Christ is living in us, we need to be prepared in how the world will respond to us. Now, with that in mind, if you would, you can mark your spot here in 1 John chapter 3. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 5. I believe what we see in Matthew chapter 5 will also help us understand exactly what the Apostle John is saying here. In Matthew chapter 5, this is a familiar section. This is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And we're focusing on the Beatitudes, beginning in Matthew 5, verse number 3. I want to share something with you from the Beatitudes that I have just noticed recently. I've worked through the Beatitudes before and looked at each Beatitude. But I want to mention a beatitude that I believe is very, very important. They're all important. But we might say that the first three beatitudes flow into this one. And then the next three flow out of that one. Well, if you would, look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, where Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When you stop and think about what Jesus is saying, the idea is what we should want more than anything is to be right with God. To be right with Him. To be in that right relationship. And we enter into that right relationship when we obey His Word. There's a connection there. But notice what Jesus said also in Matthew 5, verse number 20. And Jesus is focused on this idea or this concept of righteousness. Now remember 1 John chapter 3, if we're the children of God, we are to practice, we are to manifest righteousness. And we have a beautiful picture of what that looks like. But here in verse number 20, Jesus says, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you're going to be a part of my kingdom, you're going to have to live differently than the Pharisees and the scribes. If you're citizens of my kingdom, you need to live like that. And so your righteousness must exceed theirs. Remember, they were self-righteous. And so as you look at the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. Notice how those three Beatitudes flow into this fourth Beatitude of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You see, if we're going to be right with God, notice verse 3. It starts with humility. It starts with recognizing your need for God and totally depending upon God for righteousness. We can't come up with our own plan of salvation. We cannot do enough righteous or good deeds to earn our merit, our salvation. No, if we're going to be right with God, we have to have enough humility and we have to recognize our total dependence upon God. And then number 2, when we have that kind of humility, we'll recognize what sin has done and how sin has separated us from God, and we'll have a penitent heart. You see, everything begins with brokenheartedness, verse number 3. And when we have that type of penitence in our life, we're going to mourn. We're going to have that godly sorrow that produces repentance. And then notice that third beatitude. Blessed are the meek. As you stop it and think about meekness, and as you do a word study, it's a great word. It has the idea of bringing yourself under God's control. You see, before we become righteous, we were out of control because of sin. Now that we want to be right with God, we have to put ourselves under God's control. The idea of meekness. Do you realize as you study this word meekness, this idea of meekness can be seen in our obedience to God. But notice the process. You see, it's when we obey God, we become righteous. Do you see how the first three Beatitudes flow into verse number 6? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. But watch it. Once we become righteous by obeying God, notice how the next three flow out of this fourth Beatitude in verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see, this is how we live as the result of the righteous one living in us. We are merciful. We are kind and considerate to others. We are pure in heart. Our motives are pure. As Solomon says in Proverbs 23, verse number 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Purity starts inwardly and it manifests itself outwardly. What is Jesus talking about? Blessed are the pure. Blessed are those who are holy before God. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, without holiness. Now notice the connection here. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Read verse number 8 again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you see that connection? And listen, if we're living righteously, look at verse number 9. We strive to make peace with all men. We are identified as the children of God, as peacemakers. That fly is going around and around, and I hope it doesn't end up in my mouth. That's the only thing I'm thinking of. But if we strive to live like Jesus, again, we're going to be peacemakers. Now I say all of this to say this. Remember, John is talking about living righteously. Jesus is focused on living righteously. And when we live righteously, there is going to be a reaction. The world is going to react to righteousness. And you see it here in the Beatitudes, and you also see it in 1 John chapter 3. Listen to what Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. I hope that you see that as we strive to live righteously, there's a cost. I hope that you see that if you live like Jesus Christ, there is going to be suffering. There is going to be persecution. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 12. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Godly, all that live godly, all that live righteously shall suffer persecution. Listen to what Jesus taught His followers, His disciples in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, notice what Jesus says here in John chapter 15, verse number 18. Maybe we haven't thought about this as it relates to living righteously. When we live righteously, the world has always responded in a negative way because light exposes darkness. You remember Matthew 5, verse number 16, let your light shine before men. When you let your light shine, it exposes darkness. And many times the world will react in a negative way toward righteousness. And notice how the world reacted to Jesus, who is righteous. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 18. Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Question, why did the world persecute Jesus? Read John 3, verse number 19 and 20. But in John 7, verse 7, Jesus says these words, the world hates me because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Do you realize that as we live righteously, do you realize as we let our light shine, as we strive to live like Jesus, our life is a rebuke to the way the world lives. We don't live like the world. We don't do the things that the world does. We don't talk like the world. We don't act like the world. We're not to be conformed to this world. We keep ourselves unspotted from this world. We've already established in 1 John 2, we don't love the world. Now again, when we're talking about the world, we're not talking about the people. We love their souls, but we're talking about for all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Remember, the world is the arena of rebellion and sin against God. And the way we live our life, we rebuke that. We expose that. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove those things. Speak out against those things. Well, when we go back to 1 John chapter 3, the Apostle John is encouraging us to live righteously. And I hope what we're seeing is what it means to live righteously. Again, righteousness is the result of the righteous one living in us. And I believe the Beatitudes will give you a picture of what it looks like when you live righteously, and we can expect the world to treat us in a negative way, but we don't lose our focus. Again, verse number 13, listen to it. 1 John 3, verse number 13, marvel not. Don't be surprised, my brethren, if the world hates you. Remember, it hated Jesus before it hated us. But look at verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Remember what John is doing? He's contrasting the children of the devil with the children of God. And as you go through this context, we see that the children of the devil, they hate, they murder, and notice the third thing, the children of the devil are indifferent. We'll see that later on in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But again, the children of the devil, they hate, they murder, and they're indifferent. You realize as you think about hate, murder is the ultimate act of hate. We become angry, we develop that hatred, and as that continues to develop, it will manifest itself in murder. And do you see what John has done already earlier in verse number 12? The Apostle John has given us an Old Testament example of how hatred was manifested into murder as Cain killed his brother Abel because Abel's works were more righteous. Again, Cain killed his brother, and by killing his brother, do you realize that Cain showed his connection with the devil? He showed himself to be of the devil by the way he lived his life, by the choices that he made. And as we said, by the choices that we make in this life, we show ourselves to be the children of God or the children of the devil. We don't want to be the children of the devil. We want to be the children of God. And if we're the children of God, we're going to live righteously. And John says there in verse 10, we are going to love the brethren. Notice again verse number 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. But even go back to verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death. Notice that idea. We can know. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. This is something that must be manifested in our lives if we are the children of God. And as you think about true love and what it means to love the brethren, there are a host of passages that exhort us to love one another. Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. As Paul wrote the brethren at Thessalonica, he says, you have been taught by God to love. And then he talks about how they love one another. That is the kind of love that needs to be manifested in our life. But again, the Apostle John is going to give us a true picture of what that love looks like in verse number 17. Listen to what verse 16 and 17, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. And if we love one another, John says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I want you to stop and think about that. If we really love one another, you see the true test of love. We'll be willing to lay down our lives for one another. I was trying to think of an example of this in Scripture. There are probably many examples that you could list, but I was really trying to think of one that would capture what we see here in verse number 16, and I finally found one right before I got up. It finally came to me. Romans chapter 16. I want you to see this with me. Romans chapter 16. The Apostle Paul, as he is ending this letter in chapter 16, he says in verse number 3, we're going to mention two individuals that you're very familiar with in the book of Acts. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. I love Priscilla and Aquila. There's so much we can learn from this great couple, this godly couple. You greet Priscilla and Aquila. Now listen to it. My helpers in Christ. And look at how real this is. Verse number 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Do you see what Paul is saying? Here is a godly couple that loved me so much, they were willing to lay down their own necks for me. That's how much they love me, and that's how much I love them. And that's the kind of love that we are to have for the brethren. But let me ask you, are we really going to lay down our lives for the brethren if we talk about the brethren behind their backs? If we gossip about the brethren? If we're always trying to tear down the brethren, what makes us think that we would be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren? Again, Jesus in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, talks about, if you're my disciples, you're going to love one another as I have loved you. And already in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John says, if you don't love your brethren, you know what? You're not walking in the light. You're walking in darkness. See, that takes us all the way back to 1 John. Just because somebody says they're walking in the light doesn't mean they're really walking in the light. It should be manifested. It should be obvious that we're the children of God, that we're practicing righteousness, that we're walking in the light. It will be seen in the way that we treat one another. We'll love one another. And here again, John is elaborating on this, giving us a little bit more information. Listen, just don't say you love one another. If you really love one another, you will be willing to lay down your life for your brethren. And then in verse number 17, again, the children of God are not indifferent. Remember what we said about the children of the devil? The children of the devil, they hate, they murder, they're indifferent. They don't care, they're not willing to help. When I read 1 John 3, 17 and 18, I'm reminded of the parable of the Good Samaritan recorded in Luke chapter 10. You remember the priest, the Levite, how they walked on by? They didn't care. But you remember it was the Good Samaritan that stopped to help that person because he had a genuine love in his heart for people. And that's what we see here in verse number 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Notice the question. How dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say that you love God when you don't love the brethren? How can you say that you love God when you're not willing to help the brethren when the brethren are in great need? I'm talking about a genuine need. Listen to the exhortation, verse number 18. Little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but listen to it, but in deed and in truth. There's that idea of action. And by the way, biblical love is always seen in action. For God so loved the world, John 3, verse 16, He gave. 1 John 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. Again, love in action. And we are to manifest that same kind of love for one another. We are to put it into action. If we're going to put that type of love into action, we're talking about true love. And true love will always be thinking about others. True love will always be willing to make sacrifices. And true love will always cause us to reach out and help others. Again, the contrast is, if we're the children of God, these things will be seen in our life. And when these things are seen in our life, we're going to let our light shine in a dark world. And by the way we live our lives, we will attract others to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when these things are seen in our lives, don't miss the main point. They give us assurance that we are the children of God. What we need more than anything, as we've been emphasizing in this study, is assurance. We need to know that we belong to God. We need to know that heaven is our home. If we will do these things, we can truly know that heaven will be our home. May God help us put these things into practice. May God help us that when we make mistakes in this life, and we will, that we will repent of those things as we strive to do better, as we strive to be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you with anything spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now?